TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Ray McGovern, Russiagate. Ray McGovern served as a CIA analyst for 27 years, from the administration of John F. Kennedy to that of George H.W. Bush. His duties included sharing national intelligence estimates and preparing the president's daily brief to Ronald Reagan's security advisors from 1981 to 1985. The material for this program literally landed on my doorstep with a personal challenge. Would TUC Radio and you, who have listened over time, be open to hearing arguments that there is no evidence that Russia interfered in the 2016 elections? And I did produce McGovern's talk for a January 2019 broadcast on TUC Radio to huge acclaim. Now, just over a year later, this renewed attention on election interference, the role of Russia, the working of the DNC in choosing the Democratic candidate, and, maybe most importantly of all, the fate of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and that of former U.S. Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning. She remains in jail to force her to testify against Assange. Julian Assange is the Australian editor, publisher, and activist who founded WikiLeaks in 2006. WikiLeaks came to international attention in 2010 when it published a series of leaks provided by intelligence analyst Manning. These leaks included the collateral murder video, the Afghanistan and Iraq war logs, and Cablegate. In Ray McGovern's Russiagate story that you're about to hear, WikiLeaks plays a pivotal role during the 2016 U.S. Democratic Party presidential primaries, as they received and published emails by candidate Hillary Clinton and her campaign. Julian Assange is currently serving a prison sentence for jumping bail in the U.K. He faces extradition to the U.S. under the Espionage Act that could result in his imprisonment for up to 175 years. Chris Hedges wrote in early February 2020, "The publication of classified documents is not yet a crime in the United States. If Assange is extradited and convicted, it will become one. Assange is not an American citizen. WikiLeaks is not a U.S.-based publication. The extradition of Assange would cement into place a terrifying global corporate tyranny under which borders, nationality, and law mean nothing. Once such a legal precedent is set, any publication that publishes classified material, from the New York Times to an alternative website, will be prosecuted and silenced," end quote from Chris Hedges. As Julian Assange is now fighting extradition to the U.S., Chelsea Manning has spent over a year in prison for refusing to testify against him. Here's Ray McGovern, recorded on August 4, 2018, at the Common Good Cafe in Seattle, Washington. Thanks to KODXLPFM for the audio.
Someone came up just 15 minutes ago and said, "You know, this is a really strange time. It's very disorienting. I've never seen times like this in Washington, and I've been in Washington, D.C. 55 years. She said, "Well, now, what are you talking about?" I said, "About Russiagate." And she said, "Oh, wow, those Russians." And I said, "Well, actually, what I'm going to say is that there really is not very good evidence of Russian meddling." She paled and looked and said, "Oh, God, one of those Trump people." I'll just add what my wife always asked me to say. My appraisal of President Trump is that he's the very worst president the United States ever had. That there are X number of reasons to indict him or to impeach him or get rid of him, not the least of which is the fact that Rita and I have 9 grandchildren who will probably not have clean air and clean water at their disposal when they get to be my age. How more serious can it be than that? I mean, what do you need to have before you impeach? You don't need made-up stuff, okay? You don't need made-up stuff. So let me just start and try to reconstruct how we got to where we are now. During the campaign in 2016, you'll remember that Hillary Clinton was accusing Donald Trump of being soft on Russia. Huh? He had this bizarre notion that it would be a good idea to have a decent relationship with Russia. Oh, God. Talk about crazy, huh? Well, Hillary and her people thought that this was something that would really resonate with the American people. Russia is bad. They would really make heyday by saying, look, Trump is soft on Russia. So they started doing that almost immediately, and then it hit the fan, literally speaking. June 12th, 2016, Julian Assange of WikiLeaks announces, we have emails related to Hillary Clinton, and we're just about to publish them. Whoa. Emails related to Hillary Clinton. This is the 12th of June. The Democratic Convention is just 6 weeks away. My God, I wonder what they have. And we think that the DNC knew what had been stolen. They would have the emails showing, and this is no joke, folks, showing that Hillary Clinton stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders, pure and simple. Stacked the primary, stacked all kinds of stuff, all right? Before I forget to say it, and I hope nobody take offense, if we have someone to blame for Donald Trump, you know? I mean, that's a pretty big onus, right, for Donald Trump. The Russians are, you know, easy to blame. The person responsible for us having Donald Trump is someone named Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, she could not have lost the election because few people trusted her, or Wall Street was in her camp, or that she used an unclassified server for top secret information, or that she didn't campaign in the right states, you know. It couldn't have been that. It had to be something else. It was the Russians. So, June 12th, Assange announces that he has emails related to Hillary Clinton, was his words, and he said that he's going to publish them soon. 2 days later, CrowdStrike, the computer entity hired by the Clinton campaign, announces, we have seen an intrusion into the Democratic National Committee, and there are telltale signs in Cyrillic. Cyrillic, as most of you know, is Russian, right? Okay. As a matter of fact, we have the name of the first head of the Soviet secret police, his name and patronymic, Felix Ermundovich, which is for Dzerzhinsky, the first. So whoever intruded into the DNC was either incredibly sloppy, and no one has accused the GRU, the Russian intelligence, military intelligence service, of being sloppy, or they were overly clever in leaving more than just telltale signs in Cyrillic, not leaving just a tablet or a Microsoft-type format, but leaving, so we wouldn't miss it, the name and patronymic Felix Ermundovich. So that's June 14th, 2 days after Julian Assange announces he's got these emails. When it was claimed that the Russians hacked into the DNC, into the Democratic National Committee, do you remember what John McCain said? Act of war. It's an act of war. The Russians have done an act of war. What did James Comey do, the head of the FBI? Anybody know? I was like the tar baby in Uncle Remus. You didn't say nothing. Didn't do nothing. Now, if you were the head of the FBI and you heard that the Russians had hacked into the DNC computers, what was the first thing you would do? Yeah, right, seize the computers. Take a look at them. Send your forensic experts in there to seize the computers and find out what, you know, how did this all happen? But for some reason or other, Comey didn't do that. And when he was asked softball questions by the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is a softball, the archetype of a softball outfit. Now, Mr. Comey, tell me, you didn't have access to the computers of the DNC. Why was that? Oh, we were never given access. We were never given. Well, hello? What do you need? All you need is a little warrant or a little letter. You know, the FBI doesn't hesitate from invading the homes of some of my NSA friends or anything. So, he said, we weren't given access. Next question. Now, Mr. Comey, is it general practice not to seize the computers in such a case, like when people are saying there's a war? Well, no. I have to admit that best practices would mean that we had physical access to the computers, but we decided to rely on CrowdStrike, which was a super top-rate cyber organization, and they did forensics, and we borrowed their forensics. Anybody know about CrowdStrike? Run by a bunch of Russian-hating groups, hired by Hillary Clinton, and with a very spotty record, actually a disastrous record of veracity in their conclusions in the past. So for some reason or other, James Comey didn't do that. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me be a little bit more orderly here. So we have June 12th, Assange says he's got the emails. Now, July 25th, when the DNC convention was, now, just imagine the situation at the DNC. Hillary's sitting there with a bunch of her advisors, and they're saying, oh my God, Assange just got DNC emails or my emails. And we haven't even had our convention yet. What is Bernie going to say? What is Bernie going to say when he finds out what we did? My God, what are we going to do? And somebody says, I know what we do. We'll blame the Russians. Everybody's like, come on, it was the Russians. It was WikiLeaks. That's okay. We get a twofer here. We hate WikiLeaks as much as the Russians. We'll say that the Russians hacked and they gave the information to WikiLeaks. Anybody got any better ideas? Okay, we'll go with it. And that was it, folks. That's what they did, starting after June 15th, all the way up to when, 3 days before the convention, Julian Assange released the emails. Now, what happened? What was the headline in New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, when it became clear that these hacked emails had been published by WikiLeaks? Headlines were, why did Russia do this? Why are the Russians doing this? Nobody looked at the content of the emails. It was a magnificent diversion of attention. You look at the record. Nobody looked at what the emails said. It was all about, why did the Russians do this? So it worked like a charm. And I had a chance to hear Jennifer Palmieri, who was Hillary Clinton's PR person, and she was bragging about going to the convention and going around in a golf cart to the various cable and other news outlets and pushing this line under instruction that the Russians hacked. She said, C-SPAN has it, she said, you know, it was hard for me to believe that the Russians would hack to help defeat Hillary Clinton, help Trump win, but we tried to sell it. And it was hard for anyone to believe, but when we got back to Brooklyn was Clinton headquarters, right? Then intelligence people started coming to us and filling in the blanks as to how the Russians hacked. Then, best of all, the Obama administration would start to confirm these stories. So then we were off and running with this story. Okay. Then there's the election. What was it, the 8th of November? And then a curious thing happened. On the 5th of January, President Obama, in his last few weeks in office, this is 17 now, it's 2017, he was briefed by NSA, CIA, and the FBI that had done this very poor excuse for an intelligence assessment, adducing no real evidence, but saying that Putin himself had ordered the hacking of the DNC. Now, he was briefed on that. Now, what's really interesting is that this document that everybody crows about, this intelligence community assessment, the only accurate word in those three words is assessment. Was it the intelligence community? No. Was it just three agencies of the intelligence community? No. What was it? It was hand-picked analysts from these three agencies, not the agencies themselves, hand-picked analysts. Who picked them? Who picked them? James Comey, for God's sake. Now, everyone knows in Washington that if you handpick the analysts, you handpick the conclusions, right? Okay. So there you had this document out that everyone is still crowing about. How can Trump stand next to Putin and not believe U.S. intelligence? You know, this is terrible, you know. Oh, U.S. intelligence is always correct, except for before Iraq and except for a couple other things, all right? So this is necessary because on the 18th, Obama gets up for his last press conference. And having read this and been briefed on this assessment that Putin himself directed that the DNC be hacked and the results be given to WikiLeaks, what does Obama say? He says, and I quote, "The conclusions of the intelligence community with respect to how Russian hacking got to WikiLeaks are inconclusive," period, end quote. Inconclusive conclusions. Wow. So why does Obama say that 2 days before he's going out of office? Because he's a lawyer. He wants to protect his derriere, you know? The Russian hacking was bad enough, because he probably knew what the evidence was, like not much, but saying that it was given by the Russians to WikiLeaks. You know, we know, and I refer to my NSA colleagues, former NSA, two of them were technical directors at NSA, they know that it wasn't a hack because of the fact, number one, NSA collects everything. Once Ed Snowden brought those slides out into Hong Kong, not only could I say it, but I could show exactly how it's done. I could show the trace routes that are implanted in the network where they trace every single email. It's broken down into packets. The packets are reassembled. Those of you technical people realize what that means. We can trace exactly where it originated or where it ended up. And there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing on Russian hacking. That's negative evidence, right? In other words, the argument would be, if NSA had that, certainly they would reveal that given all the controversy. But you know, Donald Rumsfeld, not my favorite philosopher, but he did go to Princeton, and he learned the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Ray McGovern recorded on August 4, 2018, at the Common Good Cafe in Seattle, Washington. Since August 2018, the roles of two people mentioned by McGovern have changed. Republican Devin Nunes was chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, a position that is now held by Democrat Adam Schiff.
I want to tell you that there are great advantages to live near Washington, and we've been there 55 years now. One advantage is that you get to go to meetings. You can even go to Hillary's and Podesta's old think tank. That's what I do. I always go to those things. And if I can, if they'll recognize me, I raise my hand and ask a question. So I went up after Adam Schiff, representative from California, who is the lead on all this Russiagate. And I didn't know the camera was on. And I just sort of asked him a question. And the whole deal was, he told me, well, he couldn't tell me the answer because it was classified, okay?
My name is Ray McGovern. I served in CIA under 7 presidents and 9 directors.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm interested in 1 week ago when the president said this, I don't want to misquote him, the conclusions of the intelligence community with respect to Russian hacking were not conclusive regarding WikiLeaks. In other words, there's a big gap between alleged Russian hacking and WikiLeaks. The intelligence community does not know how or if that information, to the degree it exists, got to WikiLeaks. Now, you assert as flat fact that Russia did this. Do you know more than Obama?
I would never claim to know more than Obama. I think he's a brilliant man.
It's a very serious question.
No, it's a serious question. I have every confidence in the intelligence of the Russian hacking of both the DNC as well as John Podesta. And while I can't go into the classified information, I have every confidence that the Russians used WikiLeaks, whether Julian Assange was a knowing participant or, as the Russians would describe, a useful idiot. That we will hopefully find out. But I don't have any question in the conclusions that the intelligence community.
You have every confidence but no evidence, is that right?
No, I can't share the evidence with you.
So he has every confidence but no evidence, yeah. Okay, I'm going to be quick in finishing up here. These telltale signs, the ostensible hack, which had this metadata attached to it, and had the Cyrillic, and had the name of the name and patronymic of Felix Emunovich, the first head of the Cheka, they call in those days, the KGB forerunner. Who else might have done that? Well, you know why they hate Julian Assange? Because you wouldn't know this if you read the New York Times, but on the 31st of March, he released documentation, authentic CIA memos and emails showing that CIA had developed a cyber tool which allows the new CIA directorate. Now, when I say directorate, that means several thousand people, okay? There were only 3 directorates when I was there. Now there are 4. Cyber warfare is the 4th, okay? Which allows the CIA to hack into a system or a computer or a server, disguise who hacked in, and leave telltale signs giving the responsibility to somebody else. Whoa. Immediately, the New York Times, as its wont these days, contacted the CIA or the White House, said, should we publish that? No, don't publish that. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Ellen Nakashima from the Washington Post didn't get the memo. She didn't get the memo, so she published a really good story, CIA secret capabilities to hack in, disclosed, okay? And she showed in her article that they work in 5 languages, right? Chinese, Korean, Persian, Arabic, and Russian. Cyrillic, okay? She didn't indicate this, but the original information, which nobody disputes, this is direct from the CIA, okay, that it was used during 2016. Now, we make a real sharp distinction here, Bill Binney and I. What we said about forensics is science, right? It's physics, okay? We can prove it. Now, we can't prove that it was John Brennan. We can't prove that it was the CIA cyber hackers that hacked in and left these telltale signs, but we think it's a likely possibility, okay? And that's why you have them coming after Julian Assange full bore. 2 weeks after that revelation, Pompeo got up and he said, Julian Assange is a demon. And he's running a non-state hostile intelligence service. Now, you know that Julian Assange has been held incommunicado since the late March. He's in bad health. They're out to get him. And they're out to get him because he has this way of getting authentic CIA documents. Again, nobody disputes the authenticity of this. Nobody knows about it, really, judging from the few people who knew about what they call Vault 7. It's marble framework. That's what they call this particular tool. So, you know, it's really pretty bad because what we have now is the deep state. And I use the term advisedly. There is a deep state. And when you look at the FBI, you look at the CIA, to a lesser extent, the NSA, you look now at the Justice Department. They have a lot to protect themselves against because they thought Hillary's going to win. Comey has said that. And that explains, pure and simple, why they thought they could take extracurricular, extra-legal measures to make sure she won and to make sure Trump lost, and after the election, to use this information to the degree they could to blacken Trump so he can't reach out to Russia. And that's another story. A lot of people think it makes good sense to have a decent relationship with Russia, but not what Pope Francis called the blood-soaked arms traders, okay? And that's a big, big lobby. What we have now is what Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. What we have now is the military-industrial congressional intelligence media complex. It all fits together, folks. And we don't know half of what's going on. Not even you who are progressive and keep up on these things. Most of you didn't know about marble framework. And the likelihood, as Bill Binney and I see it, there was a CIA that hacked in on the 5th of July, 2016, and left these telltale signs.
You heard excerpts of a speech by Ray McGovern, 27-year veteran CIA analyst from the administration of John F. Kennedy to that of George H.W. Bush. Extradition hearings for Julian Assange are accelerating in the UK. Journalist and author Chris Hedges warns that the publication of classified documents is not yet a crime in the United States. If Assange is extradited and convicted, it will become one. Ray McGovern has joined the many authors and journalists who are calling attention to Julian Assange, including 17 members of the German Parliament. They nominated Julian Assange, Chelsea Manning, and Edward Snowden for the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelerden. Thank you for listening.